Four out of every five multicellular organisms in the soils are nematodes. And nematodes, they occupy just about all trophic or feeding groups in the soil. So studies that have to do with the soil, if they have to consider the biotic components of the soil, nematodes are very good organisms to actually begin with. The title of our presentation is Ascertaining the Functions of Soil Nematodes in a Weed Agroecosystem. My colleagues are Aaron Carter and Jamie Sherman. The site where we did our study was Mokanema in Washington State in the Pacific Northwest. The plots were located in a commercial winter wheat field. It was seeded in September and harvested in August. The wheat was grown following conventional methods. And the cultivar of the wheat that was grown was Stevens, and previously it has been reported to be susceptible to plant parasitic nematodes. We collected samples pre-plant, mid-season, and at harvest. This is an aerial view of the field that we sampled. A little bit of background here on nematodes. Soil nematodes could basically be categorized into five. We have the plant tissue feeders that we call, commonly call the plant parasitic nematodes. And then we have the bacterial feeders, the fungivores, the carnivores, and the omnivores. Now, if we come somewhere down here, we're actually showing the mouth parts for, this is for a bacterial feeder, this is for a fungal feeder, that's a plant parasite, that's a carnivore, and that's an omnivore. So our main objective was we're trying to see nematodes in the soil. They can be of ecological service or they can be of ecological disservice, just depending on the types and the population that we actually find in the particular environment or the particular study site. Based on their population abundance, we can see nematodes could be of ecological service or ecological disservice. Now, we were interested in knowing whether overall the soil nematodes in the study plot were of ecological service or disservice. Now, we collected samples using a foot-driven soil sampler between 15 to 20 centimeters deep. And the samples, as we said earlier, they were collected pre-plant, mid-season, and during harvest. Now, we used the kind of say standard sieving and Bayman furnace method, and we incubated the samples for 72 hours. This is what we have. We have to go back. Now, this is trying to move the mouse here. Okay. This over here. That's a Bayman funnel. That's a Bayman funnel over there. It has a sample inside it, and then so we put the sample in a muslin cloth, and the nematodes eventually they will leave the soil sample. I'm trying to work this mouse here. They will leave the soil sample and they will collect in the water that we have underneath here. And then eventually after 72 hours, we can actually can be collected down here. The nematodes were essentially identified using morphoanatomical structures, especially their mouth parts. The analysis that we used was the Ninja program. And the Ninja program, I must say it's a modification of a funnel analysis of soil nematodes that was earlier developed in 2001 by Professor Howard Ferris and his friends. And it happens that Howard Ferris is right here in the room with us. And this is just some more slides to show how nematodes are actually extracted, and it will go through the sieving process, and then thereafter the sample will be transferred over to the Bayman funnels and then incubated for 72 hours. Now these are some more nematodes here. This is a plant parasitic nematode. It has a spear or the stylet. This is a bacterial feeding nematode. This is a carnivorous nematode. This is a fungal feeding nematode. And then that's an omnivorous nematode. Now, the summary of our results, we found out that in the plots that we sampled, that plant parasitic nematodes were the dominant feeding group, followed by the bacterial feeding nematodes. Now, among the plant parasitic nematodes, referred to as PPN there, we had two families that dominated. We had the Talenchidae and the Heterodariidae. But the Talenchidae, we had more Talenchidae, they were more abundant than the Heterodariidae. Among the bacterial feeding nematodes, again, we have two families that dominated, the Rhabdidae and the Cephalobidae. The Cephalobidae dominated. Now, if you look at an overall representation of all the nematodes that were actually extracted, we can see clearly here that the plant parasitic nematodes represented in green, that they actually dominated. We had very high populations at the beginning, and this high population, they kind of continue right through the end of the study period. The next, as we said earlier, next was the bacterial feeding nematodes represented in red here. So after the green represented by the plant parasitic nematodes, then we had the bacterial feeding nematodes. Though we had some other feeding groups of nematodes, but for this talk we'll go ahead and limit ourselves to talking about the plant parasitic nematodes and the bacterial feeding nematodes. Now, for the bacterial for the plant parasitic nematodes, as we said earlier, we had the PP2 class. Right. So we had the Talenchidae that belonged to the plant parasite class 2. They dominated, and then that was followed by the Heterodariidae that are the plant parasitic class 3. We can see from the diagram that we have on the board there that the abundance of the Talenchidae or the plant parasite nematode class 2 increased as the study actually progressed, while the abundance of the Heterodariidae, the plant parasite class 3, actually decreased. For the bacterial feeding nematodes, again represented by red on the graphs there, we can see that the abundance decreased. From the start to the end, we actually had a reduction of the abundance of the bacterial feeding nematodes. Now, given that the plant the Heterodariidae and the Talenchidae were the most dominant plant parasitic nematodes found, so what are the importance of the plant parasitic nematodes? Now, from a nematode perspective, nematodes of the plant parasite class 3, which the Heterodariidae belong to, they are known to cause the most agricultural damage. Then for the plant parasite class 2, to which the Talenchidae belongs to, an increase in this nematode, this group of nematodes, is normally associated with poor soils. And we can see that there was a progressive increase of these nematodes throughout the study period. Then for the bacteriophorous nematodes, an abundance of bacterial feeding nematodes, they do release in soils nitrogen in excess of their structural and metabolic needs. So what means is the more bacterial feeding nematodes actually have in the soil, the more nitrogen that is actually released in the soil. And my colleague Howard Ferrish here, and they actually done a lot of work on that. But we saw in this study that the populations of bacterial feeding nematodes, they decreased as the study actually progressed, which means that their contribution to soil nitrogen actually decreased as the study progressed. Now these are just examples here of nematode. A Thylenkos, a member of the Thylenkidae, and then below. These are heterodermidae. The white ones are the white ones. These are younger cysts, and then the brown ones. Those are older cysts, and then this is Rhabdiidae over here, and down here we have the Cephalobidae. Now, soil conditions. Now, in 2001, Ferris et al., again, Professor Ferris Society in the audience with us, they came up with a faunal diagram in which nematodes could actually be used actually to describe soil conditions depending on the times and the abundance that are actually found. And basically, they had reported that basal soil conditions that are degraded are associated with BA2 nematodes. BA stands for bacterial feeding nematodes. Bacterial feeding nematodes of the colonizer persister class 2, and plant parasitic nematodes of the class 2. And then they also had for the disturbed. They also had the BA1 nematodes for disturbed soils, and then CP3 to CP5 nematodes for the maturing or matured soils. Now, based on that, linearly, this is what on the left-hand side, that's what we actually have as the diagram that they propose for describing soil conditions. And on the right-hand side, what you see there is the nematodes that we extracted, when we put it into their model, that's what we actually had. Now, with that, we move that further to this triangle that we have out there. We'll see that most of our nematodes actually, they mapped around the area which is described as stress soils. So in other words, the plots that we actually sample, the soils there are described as stress soils. Now, stress soils are unfertile soils and they are underproductive. So we are suggesting that maybe some crop rotations and so soil amendments may actually help to actually increase production in the wheat fields that we sampled. And given that we had a very high population of plant parasitic nematodes, then we conclude overall that the nematodes were of disservice. We did have bacterial feeding nematodes, but the abundance needs to be high for them to be of service. But in our study, we saw that their numbers were decreasing from pre-sample right up to harvest. So it means that they were not very much of help in the fields. This study was sponsored by the USDA. I will take any questions.
What kind of microscopes did you use to identify?
Light microscopes. Yes. Well, it just depends. You probably will probably go up to about say 400 times. You could go up to say 400 times if it's necessary. Can use oil immersion. Yeah.